The U.S. military has been facing questions this week over how it conducts airstrikes and whether it is doing enough to prevent killing civilians and to report those casualties when it does. Nick Schifrin explains.
The last known airstrike of 20 years of war conducted before U.S. troops left Afghanistan did not kill its intended ISIS target. Instead, a drone missile killed 10 civilians, including 7 children. Yesterday, the Pentagon said it will change procedures, but would not discipline any troops for that strike in Kabul.
What we saw here was a breakdown in process, and execution in procedural, not the result of negligence, not the result of misconduct, not the result of poor leadership. There was not a strong enough case to be made for personal accountability.
Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin endorsed that move based on a recommendation from the commanders of Central Command, whose responsibilities include Afghanistan and Syria, and Special Operations Command, whose personnel ordered many of those strikes. In the last few weeks, I've asked both commanders whether these incidents expose structural issues, including in how service members call in airstrikes. Both said no.
Are they too quick to call in airstrikes?
Categorically, no. There's structure in place. With commanders that take it by a step-by-step process. Or you're looking at where the potential, what the potential strike is. You're talking about what type of effects you're trying to achieve, what type of munitions you're going to use.
We've gone to elaborate lengths to prevent civilian casualties. I cannot tell you in every case that we have been able to achieve that goal. I can tell you that when we know about it, when we have an opportunity to learn that civilian casualties may have occurred, we do investigate it.
Your response does not sound like you think that there's some kind of systemic problem, whether it's a climate or whether it's special operators calling in airstrikes too quickly.
Combat, and particularly close infantry combat, as occurs in a lot of these things, is an inherently messy, imprecise, bloody business. And we would like for it to be antiseptic, would like for it to be perfect. It often is just not going to reach those standards of excellence.
There was another incident on December the 3rd when a drone over Syria targeted an Al-Qaeda commander. The military says it killed him, but acknowledges it also killed civilians. A family posted this video of the strike as it hit and told us in an interview they were innocent victims.
My son Mahmoud's head was broken. My wife's leg was broken. All of us were injured and full of blood. We went from happiness to devastation.
We don't have anything to do with the people in power. And had we known that was a motorcade in front of us for someone that was in a powerful position, we wouldn't have driven behind it.
To discuss these incidents and the larger question of civilian casualties, I'm joined by Larry Lewis, who's worked with the Defense Department for over a decade to prevent civilian casualties. He was also the State Department's senior advisor on civilian protection and is now research director at the Center for Naval Analyses, CNA. Larry Lewis, welcome back to the NewsHour. Thanks very much. What's your reaction to the military not holding anyone accountable to the August drone strike in Kabul?
So, first of all, it's not surprising. We often see a lack of accountability and discipline for these strikes. But in my mind, there's a different question. You know, not only holding individuals accountable for those that were involved in that strike, but the fact that we've seen thousands of these strikes and we see recurring problems creates a question about, okay, who really should be accountable? Not necessarily the trigger pullers, but the senior leaders. That have overseen these processes that have these systemic problems.
You mentioned you've seen thousands. You published an essay this week in which you wrote that the Kabul drone strike was, quote, not an isolated mistake, but rather part of a systemic pattern, and you called the strike negligence. Why?
So negligence is defined as a lack of care, and that's exactly what we see. So, you know, analyzing thousands of strikes, literally thousands, I've seen the same patterns that occurred in that strike over and over again.
And yet you also have heard the military say, and again, that they do care. And you just heard the Central Command Commander General McKenzie and the Special Operations Command Commander General Clark say that, quote, there are structures in place and, quote, we've gone to elaborate lengths to prevent civilian casualties such that there are no systemic issues causing these casualty incidents. You disagree?
I do disagree. So again, what does the data say? So clearly the U.S. military has processes in place. They have an infrastructure in place. The problem is that infrastructure has flaws. There are a number of implicit assumptions, and there are a number of systemic problems that weaken the care that they give. And so you tend to see these patterns again and again.
In all of those studies that you've done, are there specific examples that you can remember that are particularly indicative?
A prominent airstrike in Afghanistan in 2010, where there were special forces on the ground, and they knew there was enemy combatant forces out there, and they knew it was along a line of bearing. So they kind of looked out with their drone and found the nearest thing along that line of bearing. It was three vehicles. So they followed the three vehicles, and then they struck it with air power, and it was three civilian vehicles, and dozens of civilians were killed.
Do you believe there are lessons the military have identified but not learned or implemented?
Absolutely. I say that the military seems to have amnesia because we've identified a number of these problems before, but then they don't stick. For example, in the drone strike, there were a number of different things. There were civilians right outside of the frame, but what you need to do is kind of step back and say, okay, have things changed right before I make this engagement decision?
Do you think this is a question of leadership?
Absolutely. And what we've seen over and over again is when senior leaders are very clear that protecting civilians is part of the mission and it's something that they're watching and prioritizing, we see improvement. And when there's not that clear message from the top, then we see basically what we've been seeing the last few years.
I want to ask specifically about a New York Times report this weekend on a special operations task force named Talon Anvil, that during the height of the war against ISIS, quote, circumvented rules imposed to protect non-combatants. That's what the Times report. You have worked with these special operators for years. Do you believe that during the height of the war in ISIS, they circumvented the rules?
I've been following that unit for quite a while, and I've seen quite different behavior over the years. So there are times where the care wasn't as great, and I would include Syria in that part. I've also seen times where they took great care, and the difference was they had command emphasis that said, this is important. And when that emphasis was there, they did a fabulous job.
And finally, what practical steps do you urge the military to take in order to reduce civilian casualties? Yes.
So I think, first of all, it has to start with leadership. There's no leadership on this issue. And in addition to that, there are no resources. So if we're going to fix this problem, and we're not going to have amnesia and forget about these things that we do over and over again, we have to devote resources, and we have to have leaders that are committed to actually solving these problems.
Larry Lewis, thank you very much.